Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now. It appears that so many people are suffering from stress these days, which shows in their actions, reactions, lack of commitment, exhaustion, the way they drive, lack of focus, and so many more. My name is Denise Thompson, and I'm qualified to talk about this with my background in the medical field for over 50 years, being a wife of 42 years in a few months, mom, educator, and health professional, as well as best-selling author of a stress reduction book. Today, I want to address how stress affects our sleep and what we can do about it, part two. So if you didn't hear part one, that was last week, just click on part two and then you can go into the archive and listen to part one. I'm just going to recap a little bit and then I'm going to continue with part two. So what we've talked about is the signs of how stress affects your deep sleep. And I read you some very good information. We talked about tips on how to sleep better and not be affected by stress, stages of sleep, artificial light that changed everything, our performance is affected, it leads to weight gain, adversity impact learning and memory, compromises your immune system, elevates your blood pressure, increases inflammation, short lifespan, creates symptoms of ADHD, contributes to mental and emotional health issues. And then I asked the questionnaire, are you getting enough sleep? And it had quite a few questions. And if you answered three out of those many questions with a yes, you have some sleep issues. And then we went about the Brightline curfews, where it told you what you need to stop, how many hours before going to bed in order to get the best sleep possible. I was talking also about a morning and an evening routine and have not quite elaborated too much on it. So I just want to quickly go into the morning routine. And I'm going to share you my routine. Yours doesn't have to be the same, but just having a routine really helps. So for me, it's my alarm goes off at 6. And honestly, since I've been doing this for between 5 and 6 years, I usually wake up just a few minutes before the alarm goes off, which means I'm rested, I'm ready to start the day. So I turn the alarm off, say my prayers, read my one chapter in the 10 Ancient Scrolls from Og Mandino, which is a habit forming booklet that helps you actually transform your habits from the ones that are not so conducive to really good ones. Then I get up, get ready, take my blood sugar, and have my glass of water, and then start with breakfast, and then eat every 2.5 to 3 hours during the day, 6 times a day, smaller fuelings. And I call them fuelings because it's kind of like a car. Our body is kind of like a car. When the car runs out of fuel, does it move? Does it go? Does it do anything you want it to do? Nope, it does not. And the same with our body, actually. So when we don't fuel it regularly, the blood sugar drops or it rises and it goes yo-yo. And that makes us sluggish and tired. And we are not as productive as when we eat every 2.5 to 3 hours, starting in the morning within the first 30 minutes to an hour at the latest of getting up, because that puts the body in the state, oh my gosh, you're nice to me, you're fueling me, okay, I'm ready to go, I'm going to give you some energy and I'll be happy and healthy today. But if we wait till 10, 11, 12 o'clock, depending on when we get up, let's just say I'm getting up at 6. So if I were to wait that long, my body would go into starvation mode and start eating up muscle to give me the energy I need instead of, you know, burning off the excess that I have. Everybody has a couple of extra pounds usually. There are some people who don't, but most people do have a couple of extra pounds. And so that'd be just more advantageous to us. So, and then I go through the day, and of course that makes a huge difference. I'm usually quite balanced mentally and physically, do my exercises, get up every 20 minutes or so from my work when I sit at the computer and work there, so I can do some stretches and do some movement and lift my legs and move my arms above the heart. So it stimulates and it gives me energy to keep on going. So as I mentioned at the very beginning, the last thing I talked about last week was the bright line curfews and going from full out to go to transitioning to sleep mode. And that is so important that we slow down at least an hour before we go to bed. No more blue lights, no TV, no radio, no computer, no telephone, all the things that keep our brain from working overtime and straining our eyes. And so you can listen to that from the last week. Today, I'm going to continue with creating habits of healthy rhythms of sleep and energy. And that is so good. Because actually, did you know that lack of sleep is worse for women than for men? That's what studies show. It says sleeplessness is not good for anyone, but it takes a particularly heavy toll on women. Researchers at Duke University who studied 210 healthy men and women found that while sleep quality was comparable for both genders, the women exhibited greater psychological stress, depression, hostility, and anger, as well as higher levels of substance that increase heart disease risk, including insulin, C-reactive protein, and interleukin. That's not all, because a large study of 71,000 female nurses found that women who sleep only 5 hours or less a night are 45% more likely to have a heart problem, and that even those who sleep 6 hours at night have a 20% higher risk. So that's why it's actually suggested that women sleep 8 to 9 hours a night, and that's what I'm focusing on. Now, there's more about that. We are now going to overlay the chronological clock that runs the world with our biological clock, the one that runs you, so that we once again synchronize and reconnect you to the world which was once orchestrated with the rise and set of the sun. We will focus on establishing your new rituals and routines that, once installed, will help you reestablish the key behaviors that should be controlled by your circadian rhythm. I talked about that last week. We are, in essence, designed and engineered an ideal energy rhythm to allow you to have more optimal days. Let's look at the 24 hours in a day and how we can create time cues to help make adjustments to our behaviors that were once in sync with our circadian rhythm. In other words, we are creating a habit of healthy sleep and energy clock to guide you through your day and evening. If this idea sounds familiar, that's because we use this concept to reignite your inner perpetual motion machine with the NEAT system, NEAT. And so there's more about that, but it's so important. They're stressing all about the 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep. And I can honestly tell you, I've been observing with myself and actually even indirectly with my husband, when we go to bed and don't fall asleep right away after a specific ritual. Mine is, again, saying my prayers and reading my chapter, and then put the CPAP on, turn the light off, and I'm out. So that's pretty awesome. And I usually, since I'm planning on when to slow down drinking water during the day and at night. So I don't want to drink it too close to going to bed because I don't want to have to get up during the night all the time. So that makes such a huge impact. So do have a picture of a habits of health, sleep, and energy clock. So if anybody is interested, let me know. It shows that there are 8 hours of restful sleep from 10 to 6, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., and then 6 a.m. to 7 is model morning, and then from 8 to 9 is reset, from 9 to 12 is rest, so we just go through the whole thing. The whole circle is there, and it explains it very carefully on what we do. There are certain hours where we have not much control, and there are hours where we have a lot of control. So we need to make the most out of it. The evening ritual and the twilight are just as important as the morning one, because just as we prepare for the day, we need to prepare for the night. Since your evening ritual is what will set up those uninterrupted hours of healthy sleep, let's dive into how to create the best possible conditions to assure great sleep. And there is an evening ritual from Go to Slow. I love the way it rhymes. So Go is still high energy, alert, and focused. And then you transition to the base energy, calm and mellow. And then you go to the sleep, basal energy, deep sleep state, restorative. The word ritual came from the Latin word ritus. In Roman times, ritus were followed religiously because they were a proven way of doing something. So that's pretty awesome. So we get ready for that. I have another shirt here that's amazing with example of a bedtime ritual in the twilight hour. So an hour, all pets, children asleep, run hot baths with salts or shower, thermostat below 68 degrees Fahrenheit, clean up clutter, all blue light off, TV, computer, phone, take your medications, avoid any additional water intake other than a cup of tea. 30 minutes before bedtime. Out of bath or shower, loose-fitting light clothes, self-care, teeth brushed and flossed, cool-down starts, place chamomile, jasmine, lavender on pillow and sheets. Those are calming things. Now, you can do it with oils, essential oils. I usually put an extra pillowcase on it so it absorbs it in the pillowcase and not in the pillow itself. But it definitely works when I put some 2 or 3 drops of lavender oil on it and I breathe that in. It relaxes so beautifully. 15 minutes before bedtime, last minute entry in your journal, reading with blue light suppression glasses, a few minutes of meditation, deep breathing, gratitude, room cold, dark, and quiet, sleepy time tea. Okay, I don't do the tea at night, but if you need to, you can do that. In bed, use the restroom, then get in bed. Pillows and sheets organized. Prayer, flip the switch, cuddle partner, massage or foot rub, and head on pillow, I love you, hug or goodnight kiss, mind off, light off, and go to sleep. So pretty awesome. The path to healthier sleep, or find your chronotype. Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Chronotype is actually referred to, are you a lark or an owl? Your chronotype reflects whether you wake up early and are active and alert in the first part of the day or prefer to stay up late and are most alert in the evening. Most people aren't whole, one or the other, wholly one or the other, but somewhere in between, which is a fact. When I was much younger, I was a night owl, and I really didn't like getting up in the morning. So when I could, I slept till 10 o'clock or so. That was easy. Nowadays, I get up at 6 in the morning, and comes 8 o'clock, I'm ready for bed. So I have actually switched from to go to bed early, so I switched to that part. If most of your sleep occurs the wrong time of the day for your chronotype, it's harder to get the rest you need. Optimally, 2 circadian markers, maximum amount of melatonin, and minimum core body temperature should occur after the middle of your sleep hours and before you wake up. Scientists have found that in the morning, people's melatonin declines rapidly after it peaks, which may account for their ability to get up early. It declines more slowly in night owls. As far as body temperature, morning types reach their minimum temperatures about 4 a.m. in the evening types, and evening types, oh man, that makes sense. That's funny. So when I talk about things that I know and experienced, I still have my aha moments. Lately, it's been cooler in the morning, so around 4 o'clock, I usually turn on the electric blanket on very low over my feet because I start getting cold feet. That's usually around 4 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, I'm ready to jump out of bed, and I'm happy and healthy to go. That didn't used to be that way, and I never needed that. But now I start feeling it. I go, wow, this is awesome. They're even talking about that. So have a steady bedtime. You know, it's not really healthy on our body when we change. One day we go to bed at 8, the next day we go to bed at 10 or at 11, and then we go to bed at 1 in the morning, then we go to bed at 9. That messes our body up. But having a steady ritual or schedule or routine, and always going to bed pretty much at the same time, then we start waking up at the same time without a clock, as I do now, which is so amazing. When I beat my alarm clock, I go, yay, I'm ready. And it automatically puts me into a wonderful, happy mood because I must have rested well in order to wake up before the clock goes off. And I go, wow, this is so awesome. So there are some routines that we can do. Okay, we said the first one was define the chronotype. So are you a lark or are you an owl? The second one is set a bedtime. So decide when is the best time that you can, generally speaking, go to bed every day so you can get up the same time every morning. Even over the weekend, if you don't work. That was the hardest part for me because I was raised to sleep in over the weekend, to leave your parents alone and not make any noise because they went to sleep busy weeks. Now, being a parent and more and a business owner, I wake up at the same time. Maybe I'll take a little bit more time to read a chapter in bed. Or for my prayers, I take a little bit more time. But other than that, the alarm still goes off at 6, and my phone is off at night. It turns off when my bedtime starts. It automatically turns off. I set it like that. And it turns back on when the alarm goes on in the morning. So people can call me during the night as often as they want. I don't hear it. The next morning when I wake up, if it starts dinging, I know I have messages. But I turned most notifications up because I don't want to be disturbed all the time. So the third routine is during the daytime, get out of bed once you wake up. Get up. Limit your in-bed activities to sleeping and lovemaking and avoid sending the wrong signals to your brain. Limit caffeine. You don't have to give up coffee or caffeinated tea. Just savor them in the morning. Once noon rolls around, limit or avoid anything caffeinated, and have absolutely no caffeine within 3 hours of sleep time. Most people cannot go to sleep when they have caffeine because it stimulates them. So other people say it does the opposite to them. But then that's with other foods too, so I have more than enough experience with those. It says, responsibly, avoid eating within 3 hours of sleeping. If you really need something before bed, try a small glass of skim milk or chamomile tea. For optimal sleep, eliminate high glycemic foods throughout the day and avoid large energy dense or fatty meals in late evening. A small fueling or portion controlled meal is fine. And that's actually what I've been doing now for the last 5.5 years. And it's been serving me really well. In the evening is your time, and it's important to plan for it wisely. As you head home from work, make a mental note of any tasks or activities that need to be done. For instance, plan to complete your EAT exercises and any other activities that make you break into a sweat at least 4 hours before bedtime. So in short, don't exercise just before you go to bed. It stimulates, again, the wrong things in your body, and you can't fall asleep. You might be tired from exercising, but your brain keeps on going. It keeps on winding those cells and brain cells and the REM cycle, and everything is just going wild and you can't slow down. So don't do that. It's better to decrease stimulation before you go to bed, at least an hour or two before, and that makes a big difference. And as I said, eliminate the cell phone use. And, oh, there's so much more. For example, my husband loves to have the radio on or the TV on to fall asleep. I can't fall asleep that way. I need to be totally relaxed. That's for me, phone, TV, radio, nothing is on when I go to bed. It is off. I don't want it to work in the bedroom. And so that really helps. Twilight hour rituals are so important. And that is, oh, I tell you, I could go on for hours and hours, yet I promised only 30 minutes. The stress and anxiety factor. Research confirms that stress and anxiety are the number one reasons responsible for poor sleep. True again, something happened yesterday that was unexpected for us, and I was dwelling on it. I know I have a notepad next to the bed. And instead of dwelling on it, just writing it down, and then I can pick it up in the morning is the best solution. But I was so hooked on this that I didn't do it. Take control of your breath. Challenge choose. Remember, we've talked about that so many times already. Stop and take a deep breath and kind of evaluate the situation. What triggered me? Why am I feeling that way? Challenge yourself and say, is this really true or am I making this up? Is that in my mind? And then choose the option that best serves you. That's always the thing. Take 5 to 10 minutes to meditate. Okay, so we go back to the morning ritual. That's awesome. And yeah, I did that. Okay. So in short, it is so important. So it's easier actually to go to bed earlier at night and get up earlier in the morning, because every hour you sleep before midnight and you have a deep sleep almost counts for twice as much sleep. So if you go to bed at 8 and you finish your ritual with everything else and you're totally asleep by 9 to midnight, that's 3 hours. That counts almost like 6 hours. So if you need to, you can take power nap during the day. And a power nap is not an hour or 2 hours. It's 6 to 20 minutes. You know, 6 minutes to 20 minutes. All you do is close your eyes and start deep breathing and just totally relaxing. You don't even have to be laying down. You can be in a recliner or in a chair, put your head down, whatever. Just close your eyes and totally relax and do the deep breathing. That helps. That goes under active rest also, with physically deep breathing and stretching, mentally meditate, gratitude, listening to soothing music. That can help. Socially, family and friends, and spiritually prayer, whatever you do for that. Passive rest naps activate the sleep version of the rest activity cycle, which works differently than the waking rest activity cycle. If you are so fatigued that you need a nap and nap is available to you, then by all means, take a nap. A very long chapter for myself. I love it because I learned so much from it, and everything that I get is amazing. I just really, really love to learn more about healthy sleep. And if you want to learn more about it, let me know. I'd be more than happy to go into more detail with you. I am keeping it kind of short and condensed here on the Blog Talk Radio show, because if I were to go into total depth, we would be talking about that for a week. So that was not the intent. My intent is to give you value and to create an awakening that you want to know more about it. Now, you have options. You can figure it out for yourself. You can Google it. You can go and see if you can find anything about habits of health or whatever. If you want to talk more and maybe go through the questionnaire I posted last week, let me know and we can do that. So it's entirely up to you how much you want to get out of it, how healthy you want to live, what you choose to do, what your passion is, and how you want to set the example for your family, your loved ones, especially your children, because you know for a fact they mimic you. They mirror you. Everything you do, they do. And sometimes we're not even aware of it, but oh, wow, they really are pros at it. So I do hope, despite the fact that I went quite fast with this, and there are still a couple of spelling errors in the transcript there, but the main idea I'm sure came across. And what I want to do now is offer you a gift. The first one is a health reset strategy session. It's a one-on-one. And the other one is a healthy e-newsletter that I email out with healthy nutrition, like recipes and activities and some other valuable information. And I would be honored if you were to request either or both. That'd be totally awesome. I'm really looking forward to, as I said, giving you more value than I do during the shows. But those are just a bit short, and I don't want to go too deep. I want to go to the point where everybody can understand it. So let me know what interests you, if you want to be on the show, if you have questions, suggestions, email me. Email me at coachdenise@ctdigest.net, and it's a below gift on the, in a transcript. Put in the subject line capital B, capital T, capital R for Blog Talk Radio, and then behind what you would like to share with me so I can fish it out of the spam folder, because all first-time emails go into the spam folder. So I do hope you got some value out of this and you're thinking about your sleep, the pattern, what you are, a lark or an owl, how to prepare for the evening ritual, what kind your morning ritual is. And if you have questions, please don't hesitate to send me an email and then I will get in touch with you and we can talk. I wish you a wonderful week. Stay happy, healthy, and empowered.